The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. 11 minutes after 6, it's Wheels Up Wednesday on The Bill Myers Show. Join the conversation at 770-563-3770-KMED. Eric Peters will be joining me after the 6:30 news break. I don't usually have guests early on like 6:20 or so, but I'm making an exception in this particular time. Because Carolyn Renee DuPont is going to join me, and she's the author of Distorting Democracy, The Forgotten History of the Electoral College and Why It Matters Today. And she thinks that we should be in a direct election of the president. It should just be a plurality, everything. There should be no more of this, hey, you have to win certain states. And, of course, I completely disagree with her point of view, but I want to hear what her point of view is and what her reasoning is for wanting to go to having all the big cities electing the president. That's all it'll be. Without the slowing down or the and actually, let's come right down to it. Even then, the title of her book, Distorting Democracy, it kind of goes through that lie or continues to push that lie that we are a democracy rather than a representative republic with democratically elected representatives. You know, we have, so that's where the democracy comes in to elect the representatives. It's not a matter of 50% plus one means that you get to eat the other side. You know, at least it's not supposed to be that way in presidential elections. And that was the purpose of Electoral College. But she is a big student of history, so I'm willing to take a listen to her, but I don't think we're going to agree on much. Maybe that the sun rises in the east. That could be about it. But we'll have that conversation coming up here. Eric Peters will join me. We're also going to be digging into the Secretary of State's race, Dennis Linthicum, state senator who's running for Secretary of State. And as the GOP, he's the GOP guy, and you got to go there to electdennis.com for sure and help support his campaign because there's a chance. I mean, it's a tough lift to get a Republican on any kind of statewide election in the blue hive mind state of Oregon, you know, outside of our particular counties as an example. But, hey, you got to work that one. I'll be curious what he is thinking about the current Secretary of State coming out and admitting on Friday. We have some aliens that were registered to vote, and only a few of them voted. And, you know, the way I'm kind of looking at it is that it's, we're only being told about a few. Something tells me if you were to really look hard, you'd find quite a few more. And all I have to do is pick the scab of what happened last June. When Cal Martin ended up coming in and he brought in the ballots. In fact, I still have pictures of the ballots that were sent to some local motels here after we had foreign nationals, and they were people here legally. They were here legally. They weren't illegal aliens, but they came up to go to school at Rogue Community College to learn how to be a truck driver. Well, to do that, you had to have an Oregon driver's license. And once they got an Oregon driver's license, while they were living for a number of weeks over at the motels, you know, here in Southern Oregon, well, after they left, well, the ballots ended up showing up for all of these people. And that's not supposed to happen, but yet I think that's exactly what it was intended to happen, which is why Democrats have been big on motor voter. Democrats have been, in my opinion, very big on making it easy to register and easy to cheat. Well, Republicans tend to look at it differently because more of a, you know, following rules. We're better at following rules, I suppose, or at least good rules, at least decent rules. Okay, easy to register, but difficult to cheat. But of course, everything that's been done here in the state of Oregon so far, you know, setting up a vote by mail, fooling the voters about this, we've essentially just given away our democratic representation. For the convenience of vote by mail. And you can't help but notice that ever since the vote by mail came, no Republican governors. It's just a coinkydink, isn't it? And why do we have students going to SOU or OSU, University of Oregon, instead of voting absentee in their home state, voting here? Yeah, they're voting here, too. That's also part of the state legislature. Everything about adding to the harvesting of leftist votes. That's about it. That's about it. And so can President Trump overcome the cheat machine that's built in, especially to many of the blue hive mind states? I don't know. The fact that President Trump hasn't shown up in Oregon means that he's not in play here. He's in play elsewhere, though, the places where he's going. Yeah, the battleground states, essentially, is all he's worried about at this point. Pennsylvania, Georgia, Nevada. There's a chance in Nevada, things like that. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. It's why, you know, it's like we have to talk about Trump, but at the same time, it's like you realize that Trump is not in play in Oregon. You wish he were, but maybe you have to worry about getting people excited about voting for Trump just to make sure that down ballot people are still paying attention to it. And by the way, voting against every single one of those ballot measures, those citizen initiatives, they're all bad as far as I'm concerned. Absolutely each and every one of them. And we'll talk more about this as the ballots are getting ready to drop. I think the one about, writing the hot checks and raising corporate taxes, both the Democrats and the Republicans are against that. That will probably end up going down. There's been enough pressure. Democrats don't want anybody else passing out money. They want to be able to pass out the money. And so they don't like this idea of having to write rebates out of the state treasury. So that's why they're against that. Republicans are just against it because it's just a bad idea. Generally, you know, universal basic income, you get a pulse and then we're going to write you a hot check, right? You know, those kind of things. But another one that is not getting a lot of attention, but it should, is the one that would add an impeachment to the state constitution, the impeachment power to be able to take out a bad official with 2/3 votes. Now, in a sane state, that would be fine. But you know what a 2/3 vote means? Yeah. If you end up passing this one about impeachment, 2/3 vote, well, the only way you're going to get 2/3 vote on anything is if it's 2/3 Democrats trying to impeach a Republican official. That's really how it will end up being used in the state of Oregon. It's not going to be used to take out bad Democrats. That's just the way it is. So just don't give the Democrats the power this time, okay? Work the ethics complaints, get some legitimate ethics complaints, do things like that, help, you know, try to pressure people to resign at this point. But the way the Democrats have designed the impeachment power means that only Democrats would be impeaching Republicans. That's about it. If they had that power, that's what would have happened back during the walkout. You know they would have done it that way. 19 minutes after 6, this is the Bill Myers Show. We appreciate you being here this morning. Going to be a little bit warmer today, a little bit drier, even warmer tomorrow into the mid-80s, but nice fall for the next couple of days. And we'll be talking Electoral College here in the next few minutes on KMED and 99.3 KBXG.
We're thrilled to announce we're back with our Veterans Metal Roof Giveaway. After the joy of giving away our first roof, we're honoring veterans with a free custom metal roof. One deserving veteran will win this amazing gift absolutely free. Don't delay. Enter now. The contest ends November 5th. Winner will be chosen on Veterans Day. Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc., where quality and community come together. Visit StephenWestfallRoofingInc.com for entries, details, and rules.
With so many working and doing business from home, it's good to know there's a community business center to help. A Street Print and Parcel is a one-stop shop for everything from large format printing and scanning to blueprints, architectural plans, and shipping. Their Studio 10 expansion offers passport photos, photo mounting, fine art scanning, art reproductions, signs and banners, negative and slide scanning, canvas prints, and so much more. Located in Ashland on A Street across from Ashland Hardware, their motto, we create it, print it, pack it, and ship it. A Street Print and Parcel and Studio 10.
Well, you know, it's Orly Stovin's Paws we both recommend.
Now I told you where, let us tell you why, you ought to stop and see our friend.
Hey, it's Lamont here from Orly's. Now is the time to stop by to add warmth, savings, and value to your home with a Blaze King, the most efficient, longest-burning wood stove available. With a burn time of up to 40 hours, a Blaze King produces constant, thermostatically controlled heat for any size home. When you choose a Blaze King, you'll be saving big on your heating costs while burning less wood in one of the lowest emission stoves available. Beat the price increases and the weather now. Come into Orly's for a limited time and get a record-breaking 30% tax credit off qualifying wood or pellet stoves moves, and installation. Orleans has the largest selection of qualifying units in Southern Oregon. And don't forget to ask us about our easy financing. Remember, Orleans is Southern Oregon's largest Cal Spas dealer at the corner of Delta Waters and Crater Lake Highway.
I'm Mark with Oregon Truck and Auto Authority, and I'm on KMED.
Well, I just found out my Electoral College guest, who is supposed to be on like right now, the folks called me up and they said, she's having trouble with the phone. We're not able to get in here. So, okay, we'll have to cancel that, maybe reschedule for another day. Oh, well. I was kind of looking forward to arguing with her. I really was. No, not arguing, like yelling, but I think you're actually full of it, and here's why. And then she'd say why the Electoral College is just absolutely horrible, and we need to go to a direct democracy. But anyway, of course, I don't know. Maybe a lot of the other hosts that she was going to talk to at this point were saying, hey, we think you're full of crap. And then she said, I don't want to talk to any of these people anymore. Can we fake up that the phone has gone bad? I don't know. I hope you're doing well this morning. 770-563-3770-KMED. Yeah, by the way, speaking of the electoral process, and we'll be talking more about this with Dennis Linthicum after 7 o'clock. OPB reporting local election officials removing non-citizens from Oregon voting rolls as controversy swirls. And that they've removed at least 306 non-citizens since 2021. I think it's a lot more than that. I really do. I got to ask Dennis about this, and we'll be kicking that around. We have all the big television shows that are talking about President Trump needs to tone down the rhetoric. In other words, blaming the victim. Isn't that astounding what's been happening after the second assassination attempt? You know, he's a threat to democracy. He's a threat to democracy. Well, someone shot at your so-called threat to democracy. Yeah, it's because he's a threat to democracy and he knows it. And it's his rhetoric. It's like, I've never seen anything like this. I don't ever want to hear anybody on ABC or CBS or any of the major mainstream news channels. I don't want to hear them ever talk about rape victims or Me Too or hashtag Me Too or anything else. Essentially, what the mainstream media is doing right now is that they're acting like the way it used to be for a rape victim, in which they would say, hey, you know, Your Honor, this rape victim, pretty woman, she was out there wearing skimpy clothes. She was asking for it. Well, that's the same attitude that they're using with President Trump. You know, he's out there saying things that are, you know, kind of, well, they get Democrats upset, so he's kind of asking for it when Democrats are shooting at him. Isn't that really what's going on here? Absolutely bizarre. Absolutely bizarre time. By the way, speaking of those mainstream media services, remember the ABC debate a couple of weeks ago? The one in which it is rumored that either they being the Kamala Harris folks, dictated the questions or said where it would go, or else they got the questions. And there's a whistleblower right now that is saying that ABC was a total laydown. Yeah. And they pretty much just did the bidding of the Kamala Harris campaign. Well, you'll be happy to know that the report just came out. David Muir's World News Tonight ratings down 12% after the debate. Now, is it a direct connection? I don't know, but David Muir may have driven away some viewers after the Disney Network irking conservatives. Muir's World News Tonight averaged 6.7 million viewers on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and the three episodes following the debate after averaging 7.6 million. So they drop about 12%, about one out of eight people just ended up disappearing. And 12% drop in viewers for World News Tonight, more significant than slight declines that CBS and NBC had when comparing the three episodes following ABC's debate to the year-date totals. Although Muir's newscast, though, David Muir's newscast is still the number one broadcast evening news. Can you believe that? Disney News is the number one in the country here. Interesting. Interesting. So we got that going on. Maybe there is a God and It can show up. Well, I was talking about this last week to a greater or lesser extent, where I still can't believe that after that ABC debate, the Disney debate with the Mickey Mouse moderators. Yeah, I kind of like that. I should have thought about that at the time. With the Mickey Mouse moderators, that conservatives are still talking about. Oh, I can't wait. It's a bucket list. I need to go and visit Disneyland and spend thousands of dollars because my grandkids won't love me otherwise. And I have to have Disney Plus on the home's streaming network. No, I will not give that company a penny. I have to do my best, and I hope you would do this too. You can't buy around every corporation out there that hates you, but there are some ways. I'll tell you, it's tough, though, to buy around Starbucks. Man, is it hard to buy around Starbucks. Starbucks is like this stupid liberal monopoly everywhere, and I even know conservatives here in Southern Oregon that, you know, every time I see them, instead of having like even a Dutch Bros or, you know, Human Bean or some of the other ones, there's stupid Starbucks logo. And the coffee's not that good. That's what I don't understand. Is this like a victory over liberal marketing? Oh, yeah. Get your little Frappuccino and, you know, send it to us so that we can go out there and hate you. But yeah, when you're flying, it's almost next to impossible to get away from Starbucks. But yeah, if you can buy around the conservative or the non-conservative corporations, the ones that it's okay if they're going to be liberal. It's not that. It's are you going to be openly hostile and do everything you can to hate us and destroy us? And why should I give you money? I don't get it. Why so many of us still continue to write hot checks to companies that hate us? Oh well. Speaking of going back onto the Disney network here, Whoopi Goldberg claims Democrats are completely innocent, only Republicans are violent. The View co-host claimed on Tuesday that dangerous rhetoric is only a problem on the political right following the second assassination attempt on the Republican nominee Donald Trump, Secret Service arresting, of course, Ryan Routh on Sunday. And 2 days later, Goldberg argues that dangerous political rhetoric is not a both sides issue, but rather one that the political right often engages in. And Whoopi claims that the left is completely innocent and only those of the right are spewing dangerous rhetoric that could incite violence. And, of course, dangerous rhetoric would be things like, that's unconstitutional. We need to follow the rules. And by the way, all cultures are not equal. That's something else that I know that's very uncomfortable. A lot of people don't like to talk about that. All you have to do is look at what's going on in Springfield, Ohio, and various other places. The multicultural society that is not kind of working into a melting pot, you know, this tossed salad approach that the Democrats have been wanting is really about keeping us all in conflict and at each other's throats. No, multiculturalism is truly D-I-E. D-I-E. Yeah, it's definitely a death, really, not just a didn't earn it, but at least that's my opinion. I know that I kind of wandering around a little bit on some of these things, but it just kind of gets my mind going. There's a German politician that is under controversy right now, a politician that is running for the alternative, the AfD, the Alternative for Germany party. In other words, it's a more of a right-wing thing. And she ended up pulling out the stats about the so-called multicultural society that the left has been open to for all this time, that non-German citizens, she actually went and looked up the stats. Non-German citizens are 6 times likely to pick up a knife and stab someone and 7 times more likely to rape a citizen than a German citizen. But remember, we're told this lie that all cultures, all cultures have value. And all cultures are equally worthy of support. And anybody who has lived in different multiple cultures knows that that's not necessarily the truth. Sometimes they are. Sometimes there are things about different cultures. I mean, it's one big thing. You know, I remember hearing about, relatives coming over on the boat, you know, back in the day. And then the Italians are saying, "Oh, they called us Italians like we were just thugs because we ate garlic, right? We ate garlic. That was the big thing, you know. You ate garlic, and of course, maybe you had some Sicilian mafia gangs too. But I digress, you know. But still, you're eating garlic. Oh, garlic! What uncivilized people? Well, you know, that looks pretty tame compared to the Western nations that have been in have been importing the rapey and stabby populations. And up in Springfield, Ohio, of course, the populations that are, you know, eating the wildlife. We'll just leave it at that. And yes, it is true. 6:31, this is the Bill Myers Show on KMED, 99.3 KBXG. Let's break down into some transportation news. Eric Peters will join me here in just a moment for Wheels Up Wednesday. We'll kick that off next.
Life's busy, and off is not an option. You need to be on the water, on the call, on the road. Life's waiting. Power on with Batteries Plus. Visit one of over 700 locations today.
If you have an appliance that's giving you trouble, Just-In-Time Appliance is your fast and affordable mobile appliance repair, serving the Rogue Valley. Just-In-Time services and repairs all brands. Major appliances often can be repaired, extending their life and saving you money. So give Just-In-Time Appliance a no-obligation call for advice on whether it can be fixed with the best warranty available. Before you go to the expense of buying a new appliance, call Just-In-Time Appliance. Online at justintimeappliance.com.
Latest news brought to you by locally owned and operated Artisan Bakery Cafe in South Medford. It's a full-service cafe offering breakfast, lunch, and specialty coffees. You'll be wowed one bite at a time.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. A 16-year-old was taken into custody after taking a small-caliber handgun to school in Central Point. Central Point police were given an anonymous tip that the 16-year-old had taken a gun to Crater High School. Shortly after the tip, the school went into lockdown and police located the student and the weapon. The student's name hasn't been released, but he's currently in the Jackson County Juvenile Detention Facility. Oregon State Police Fish and Wildlife Troopers are investigating recent poaching incidents and asking for the public's help. Three suspects were involved in two separate trespassing incidents in Jackson County, which led to the illegal killing of a bull elk. On the 8th, they were last seen in Central Point, where an elk was left to waste. On the 10th, another person tried to kill an elk but took off after he was confronted by a property owner. A bill in Congress would allow the U.S. Postal Service to ship products with alcohol. The ban's been in place since Prohibition. Private shipping companies like FedEx already can move products with alcohol. Bill London, KMED.
American Rancher Garage United in Service. Hi, this is Dwayne Barkley, owner at American Rancher Garage, a full-service auto repair shop. We get numerous questions that begin with, hey, do you work on? So to put it simply, if it's between your license plates, we probably work on that. Call, stop by, or text us through our website at AmericanRancher.com. Stop by Biddle Road, right across the street from Elmer's, or call us at 541-499-6673. American Rancher Garage, we are united through service.
Siskiyou Pump Service and Rotary Drilling Company takes pride in ensuring their customers get fresh, clean water from field to faucet. Here's a recent review from Mike.
I am so grateful for Siskiyou Pump and Rotary Drilling Company. This outfit gets a 10 out of 10. When they say they are going to do something, you can trust that it's going to get done to the highest standard. The drilling team knows their stuff and developed a well producing 28 gallons per minute.
Providing fresh water for Rogue Valley residents for over 50 years. Visit SiskiyouPump.com.
News Talk 106.3 KMED. This is the Bill Myers Show.
And this is Wheels Up Wednesday. Eric Peters. And by the way, Heavy Fuel is my unofficial theme that I use to open up the show most of the time, Eric. But I think it actually is very appropriate for Wheels Up Wednesday, too. Lots of heavy fuel. Fuel. Heavy fuel, I guess, would have to be the electric battery in the EVs right now, right? That's seriously sure. Heavy fuel, isn't it?
Oh, incredibly heavy fuel. And, of course, it's not just the batteries that are heavy. I just got finished driving a new Equinox, which is a small crossover. It's a compact-sized vehicle, and the thing weighs nearly as much as my Trans Am with a V8.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, it weighs about 3,400 pounds, so with two people aboard, it's pushing 2 tons for a compact-sized crossover that has a footprint about the same size as a Honda Civic sedan.
Now, isn't 2 tons, isn't that about what a typical Cadillac would have weighed back in the days, in the early 70s, things like that? Or were they a little heavier? I forget.
For one of the hugest ones, if you went for something like a Fleetwood Elegance, you know, with an 8-liter V8, you'd be getting into that ballpark, but that's how big you'd have to go. And, you know, people who are too young to remember have no idea how enormous those vehicles were. I know you do because you owned one.
Yeah, I did. And but I also owned the other end of that, too, which was the 1971 Ford Pinto. 1919 is what they charged for it, by the way, at the time.
Yep, and that was about its curb weight, too.
Yeah, and I think I had to. We paid a little bit extra for it for that incredible AM radio.
So, you know, one Pinto is equivalent to one Ford F-150 Lightning battery.
Is that what
in terms of the weight?
That's the weight now. Okay. Wow. That is just, well, that brings me up to, we'll talk about the Equinox more here in just a moment, but you have an article up there, and this is something that you've been raising the issue. I mean, I know right now that even in my cell phone batteries and in all the rechargeable batteries, and I have tons of rechargeable batteries, not just in my laptop, Eric, because I'm a flashlight whore. Okay, I've just got them everywhere, and I got the lithium ions.
I'm with you. I love a flashlight too.
Oh, you do? Okay, good. Well,
yeah.
Okay, what's the neatest, best carry flashlight you can have? And I've switched them off and on over the years.
Mm-hmm.
But we do know that over time, the lithium ion batteries, no matter what you do, or any battery, not just the lithium ion, just the nature of a battery aging because of the components will tend to lose capacity every year. It's why you have to replace your lead acid battery after what, 5 years, 5-6 years?
Sure.
In your starting battery. It's just the way it goes.
Yep. In your laptop battery, in your phone battery, and so on and so on.
Yeah. And if you're a Hezbollah guy, you know, and don't even get me started on that one. Wasn't that a wild story, right?
Yeah. That's a whole other thing we could talk about if you want to.
Yeah. I might just step aside from that at the moment.
Yeah.
But your latest article is just 1-2% per year. And this is how much range you end up losing, even if everything works okay with your EV. So tell me about that. Break that down.
Well, where to begin? It's almost hallucinatory that people are expected to accept something like this, you know, as if you had to worry about your gas tank losing capacity over time.
Right.
They admit that on the optimistic end, this is the best case scenario, that when an EV battery is made, and it's not just when bought, so that, you know, as soon as this thing's made and put in the vehicle, it sits on the lot, it's beginning to lose charge capacity gradually. And the rate is about 1-2% per year, which doesn't sound like much except until you add it up. And, you know, after 8 years, let's say, now you're talking about 15%. And that's, again, on the optimistic side. And then here's the cavalcade. It's all of this just compounding stuff. You start out with a vehicle that probably doesn't have that much range to begin with. For example, the electric version of the Chevy Equinox has a range of 319 miles when it's new.
Well, now, by the way, though, you have to be – they don't really advertise that honestly at 319. That's 319 if you take it and you charge it all the way up, and then you take it down to nothing, right? And you almost never do that. Otherwise, you'll destroy the battery very quickly, right?
Yeah, and that's the other compounding factor that we'll have to get into. But you lose, let's say, 15% after about 8 years. So now you're down to 270 miles. And realistically, it's actually less than that because it's risky to run a battery down to empty for all the reasons we've talked about before. It's not like running low or even out of gas, which is a minor inconvenience. You know, you just have to trot down the road or get somebody to drive you down to the gas station, get a gallon of gas and bring it back to your car, put it in the tank, and you're back in business. You can't do that with electric vehicles. It's hard to drag a can of volts back to an EV. So, you know, that means you have to leave a reserve, which detracts from the realistic usable range that you've got. And then, as you say, if you go to one of these fast chargers, you can only instill a partial charge in about 20 minutes. And if you want more than that, you're going to have to wait a lot longer. But wait, there's more. You know, if you get into the literature that comes with these EVs, you'll find that they counsel you to not subject your EV to regular DC fast charging because that accelerates the degradation of the battery. So it might be a whole lot more than 1-2% per year if you regularly fast charge your vehicle, which you kind of have to do if you want to be able to actually use the thing every single day as opposed to every other day.
Well, all I would say is that if a gasoline or diesel vehicle were advertised and it said, okay, you have 300-mile range on a full tank there, and then after 10 years you only have 240 miles range, people would be coming unglued, and there would be all this talk about fraud. and the FTC would be involved. What is that, Federal Trade Commission? They'd be getting involved with all this kind of stuff. But because the EV is the politically powerful lobby or the one of choice, this is the government car. This is the car of government choice. They're not going to do that, are they?
Well, I think they're holding this stuff in abeyance. You know, what they hope for is that eventually if they push most people into EVs, at that point when the alternatives are no longer available, then all of a sudden they'll discover these problems, including the environmental problems. You know, think about it. If you have a new car, let's say, that gets 35 miles per gallon, and after 8 years, 9 years, it's only getting 29 miles per gallon. Oh, it's using more gas. It's emitting more. Well, the same applies to the EV, just not at the tailpipe. You know, it's consuming more electricity and burning up more resources. And so it's an environmental issue, but they're silent on it for now.
Okay. So needless to say, at the very best, you're losing 1% to 2% per year, probably more in the real world, right? And and the other aspect of this that that you don't have to do with a conventional car that people just don't realize for the most part is that if you just let that EV sit out in the driveway and you don't have it tethered in and plugged in all the time, it's going to lose lots of power just sitting there because it always has power going to maintain the temperature of the battery at just the right temperature. Isn't that right?
Yep. Yes, and it's a really significant point. And it's also kind of a classist point, you know. The typical EV owner, an apologist, is somebody who's affluent enough to own a single-family house with a garage where they can park their EV and plug their EV in. What about the people who live in apartments and condos who have to park on the street where they can't plug them in? And accordingly, overnight, as the thing sits, particularly in the cold, it's losing charge and costing them money.
Now, the other aspect of this, too, is that I'm just reading that everyone is just thrilled with the brand-new postal vehicles. That most of them have been electrified, though. But maybe that's actually a decent way to use electric vehicles for postal vehicles,
well,
right? They go back to the hive every night to the same place, and they have a set route where they go every day, that kind of thing.
It depends. You know, if you are able to just remove the fatuity and the mandates and all of that and just let them make a market case for themselves, certainly in, let's say, an urban environment or even a small town where the mail carrier doesn't really go that far away from wherever the place is that they start with the bag of mail, then sure, potentially that might make sense in terms of fuel-saving costs, though I don't know whether over the long haul those savings would obviate the initially much higher cost of the vehicle itself, not to mention the replacement cost. You know, those Grumman Long Life vehicles, the typical post office truck that everybody knows about, that's what that is. It's called a Grumman Long Life vehicle. Those things go 20-plus years.
By the way, they were designed to go 20 years, but you know that they have many of them that are 40 years old now. Many of them have gone 40 years old. And I was reading that one of the reasons why they had to get new ones is that some of those Grummans caught on fire. Well, they didn't catch on fire because of bad design. They just needed more maintenance is what happened.
Sure.
And they haven't been maintaining them particularly well over at the post office. So why not give them new vehicles to destroy? There we go.
Because they have unlimited access to your tax dollars is why. You know, if it were a privately run enterprise, if you or I were running a mail delivery service, we would seek out the most efficient, least expensive way to get the mail delivered. And in that case, something like a Grumman LLV that might go for 20 years makes a heck of a lot more sense than buying a battery-powered thing that might go 8 years before you have to throw it away and get another one.
Speaking of which, have any of the other delivery services gone into electric vehicles? Because I'm still seeing gas or diesel with FedEx and most of the Amazon and also UPS for the most part. Is that making any inroads, or is this only the Postal Service?
Well, I think UPS committed to buying some Rivians, and a bunch of them just went up in smoke recently.
Oh.
I think it was UPS.
Hey, sorry, your latest Amazon shipment's going to be a little late. Hate to say that.
Yeah, you know, right? There was a period of time when they were all buying into this, or at least rhetorically buying into it, and saying this is what they were going to do, but the rubber hit the road, and they realized that this is just going to increase their costs and make it harder to maintain their service. And also another factor is the weight that we were talking about earlier reduces cargo carrying capacity. It's a big issue for commercial vehicles. You know, if you've got a truck that, say, could carry 5,000 pounds of stuff, let's say, But now it's carrying around 2 tons of batteries. You've reduced your carrying capacity significantly, and so now you've got to send the thing back to take another load that it might have been able to go out with just one time.
Yeah, you know, Eric, back to the postal vehicle, as they were waxing poetic about it, the folks were saying that, you know, some of the mail carriers are saying, oh, man, I have air conditioning, right?
Yeah.
And yet most of these are electric vehicle. I wonder if they're going to find out that they don't have any range if they're using the air conditioning and all that hot heat, you know, over the summertime.
Well, particularly the winter, I think, is even more of an issue because that really does burn through power, as anybody who has a heat pump knows. You know, when it gets really cold outside, say 15, 20 degrees, and you're using a heat pump to try to keep your house warm, your power bill goes up fast. Luckily, at least the juice is still coming in from the utility, so you don't have to worry about the thing turning off. Well, that's not the case when you're driving a vehicle that isn't plugged in while you're burning up the power.
Yeah, fair enough here. Eric Peters with me, epautos.com. If you wanted to ask Eric a question about a vehicle or make a comment on some of the transportation news and politics you've been hearing about here, 770-5633, 770-KMED. Now, I'll tell you what, let's dig into the Chevy Equinox when we get back here, Eric, okay? I'd like to hear, because it seems like a relatively pleasant, competent SUV, so I'm hoping to get your take on it, okay? All coming up.
The model year-end closeout on new Iron Bull trailers continues at Two Dogs Fabricating. Iron Bull has instant rebates on remaining 2024 Iron Bull trailers while they last. There's an instant $750 rebate on 12 to 16-foot dump trailers and a $500 rebate on equipment trailers from 16 to 24 feet. The 2024 model year-end closeout on North Star-made Iron Bull trailers is for a limited time, so go pick out yours at Two Dogs Fabricating on Bryan Way, off Sage in Medford. Visit twodogsfab.com.
George Strait's Oceanfront Property in 1987 was the first album to debut at number one on the country charts. Whether you're Arizona Oceanside or further inland, Millett Construction reminds you that if you have sloping floors and cracks in walls, your ground is likely shifting, causing foundation issues. Millett will fix your foundation, level your house, and solve the water problem that's causing the damage. Get on solid ground. Visit MillettConstruction.com for a free estimate. CCB number 32787.
One of each, Forte VIN 69674 MSRP 21645 Telluride VIN 551538 MSRP 42435 5958 due 10K miles per year, zero security deposit, all incentives and discounts to dealer plus tax, title license, 150 registration processing fee. Trading in a vehicle will not eliminate your debt. Negative equity applied to new loan balance ends 9/30/24.
Now is the perfect time to trade in and take off in a new Kia at Kia Medford. Trade in your old vehicle and get cash on the spot. Then shop our huge selection of brand new Kias. Take off in a new 2024 Kia Forte LXS, just $139 a month lease. Or a new 2024 Kia Telluride S all-wheel drive, only $229 a month lease. Plus, once we make a deal at Kia Medford, we'll pay off your trade no matter how much you owe. Need credit? Go to KiaMedford.com to get pre-approved in less than 30 seconds with no effect on your credit score. Don't miss Forte's $139 a month or Telluride's $229 a month. Trade in and take off at Kia Medford. Click KiaMedford.com.
Welcome to the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED. Give Bill a call at 541-770-5633. That's 770-KMED.
12 before 7 on Wheels Up Wednesday, and we're back with Eric Peters, automotive journalist and genius, and Tracy's over in Mount Vernon. How you doing this morning, Tracy? You had an EV question or wanted to talk about that?
Yeah.
Go right ahead.
Comments and questions. First, a warning to your listener, and I think Eric might enjoy this. So I was in the process of renting a car the other day through an aggregator website. You know those websites that say they can get multiple car dealerships or rental car companies and hotels all in the same bag. And so they first offered up an all electric at the very lowest price. I said, no, I don't want all electric. So I went to the next tier and I said, still manager's choice. Let's choose this. It comes back afterwards and tells me, oh, we're going to give you a gas or electric. So you can get, even though you think you're going to get a gas only because you paid a premium, you could end up with an electric car in your rental.
Yeah, Bill, you know all about the manager's choice, don't you?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, that's what happened to me, Tracy, when I went back to Cleveland a couple of weeks ago for the reunion. And when I first booked the car, the rental car, they gave me a cheap price for an EV. The EV was the cheapest one. In other words, they can't get rid of them. I think is what's going on. They make
I wonder why that is. It's kind of like, why do you think they give away the flu and COVID vaccines?
Huh. Makes you wonder.
And I've got two other points here. Yes, I have observed electric cars, electric delivery vans in California. I think UPS has run them. Yeah. And up here, I've seen Amazon. Of course, I'm in Amazon country. And the final point is I am 52 miles from the Canadian Peace Arch, which is the Canadian border here. So I actually watch a lot of Canadian television. I can't get American Network, so it's Canadian. So they're running a lot of ads for the Subaru Solterra up here. And those poor Canadians in that cold weather having to deal with electric vehicles, and I really pity them what the government has thrown on them. So could you comment a little bit about the Solterra, please?
All right. Thank you very much. Thanks, Tracy.
Well, you know, so I would comment specifically or generally, I would say, with regard to the EVs and their performance in the winter. Again, it's a compounding problem because you've got a vehicle that typically will not have much range to begin with, and then that is compounded by the rapid diminishment of the range in the cold weather, because cold weather is very hard on batteries and things that are powered by electricity, compounded again by the problem of having to find and wait at one of these fast chargers in the shivering cold and cross your fingers and hope that the thing is actually working when you get there.
What I'm kind of wondering about here, Eric, and this is what Matt gave me or messaged me to ask you, what does the used market look like for EVs? And what is the best...
It's a catastrophe.
And
this is another issue with the EVs, and the word about this is getting out. What do I mean by that? The depreciation rate on EVs averages about 30% higher than on other vehicles, and the reason why is obvious. You know, people have begun to understand that when you buy a used EV, you're buying something that has a used battery and probably has already suffered the diminishment in capacity and range that we've been talking about. And the only way to remedy that is to buy a new battery. And now you're looking at spending $10,000, $15,000 or more to put a new battery in a vehicle that's probably not worth as much as the battery. And so who's going to do that?
What's the best argument for buying an EV new, though? Can you think of one?
Honestly, no. The only thing I can think is if you get one of these spectacular giveaway deals, I remember for a little while there, Fiat was trying to get people into the electric version of the 500, the little micro car.
Yes.
And basically giving them away. They were like, there was a dealer, I think, in Colorado that was putting people into them for something like $100 a month or even less than that on a lease.
That was happening down here in Southern Oregon for TC Chevy when they had Chevy Sparks and, mm-hmm. Or the Chevy Spark EV. And by the way, I drove that and I thought it was a perfectly comfortable, reasonable, short distance commuter car, you know, around town. You know, hey,
sure.
that'd be great because you get about, 95 miles of range. And I think that they were leasing them at like $99 a month or something like that at that time a number of years ago. And yeah, you get something like that. Okay, that's fine. You know, as long as you're not thinking that you're going to drive it to Vegas, you know, from Medford, that sort of thing.
Right. The only case that I can see for any of these things really is the case that you might make for some of the really basic short-range EVs that are available in other countries where you can buy one for under $10,000. And in that case, it would be a great first car for a young person or an older person who doesn't really need more than a very short-range local thing to get them down to church or to the store and back.
Yeah, you're putting around town, no big deal. But you see... That's just it. That would be perfect. Those would be perfect ways to integrate EVs into the transportation mix. But just that, the transportation mix. And that's what and that's what the regime does not want to do, doesn't want a mix. It wants only one type out there.
Yeah, and I think the fact that they do not allow the affordable EVs to enter the country, and they have put every incentive in the way of making affordable EVs, every disincentive in the way of making affordable EVs here, really says something about the motive behind all of this.
Yeah.
You know, they tell us there's this existential threat, the climate is changing, we've got to get rid of our gas engine cars, we've got to get into EVs. So why is it that they're not doing everything that they can to encourage low cost, which would be high volume, EVs onto the market?
Yeah, they don't want mobility. That's the bottom line. They really don't want personal mobility. That's what bugs them. And once again, this goes back into the motivations. Like, I think, you know, what is so great about being a billionaire if a regular middle class schmo, you know, however many of those are left, can get 90% of what you have? That's not fun, right?
Isn't it? It's really difficult, I think, for basically normal people, you know, people who aren't pathological people, to get their heads around something like that. Like, what skin is it off your nose? You know, you have a nice car. What do you care if your neighbor down the road also has a nice car? You should be happy with what you've got and happy for him that he's got what he wants.
Damn straight. All right. Let's before we go back to the phones here, Eric, and we have some more calls waiting for you.
Mm-hmm.
Give me your take on the 2025 Chevy Equinox. Now, I drove a Chevy Malibu as a rental car, and I enjoyed that when I was back in Ohio. The only thing I did not like was the CVT. I'm not a fan of the CVT.
Yeah.
We've talked about that, and for reasons, I think we've beaten that one into the ground, but we'll beat it into the ground some more. But what did you think of the Equinox, huh?
Well, you know, there's a couple of interesting things about it. Not so much that it's another crossover, which is what it is, though they've styled it to look more like the SUV that it really isn't. But the interesting thing about it is that you do have a choice of transmissions, not of engines anymore, but you do have a choice of engines, or transmissions. It's available in the front-wheel drive version with the dreaded CVT. But if you choose the optional all-wheel drive system, then you get a conventional geared automatic.
Good.
And the price differential isn't that great, so I would very much encourage people who are thinking about that vehicle to probably go with the all-wheel drive version.
That would so much be the smart way to do it, because I talked to the mechanics, and they see it. I know it is possible to make a CVT reliable or maybe perform reliably, maybe if you're changing the fluid every 20 to 30,000 miles, but I don't know. I'm just hearing too many horror stories of people that are just not able to keep CVTs together for a long time.
Yeah, well, you're buying into an inherently higher risk, just the same as when you buy a small engine that is heavily boosted by turbocharging in lieu of a larger engine that doesn't need the turbo. Yeah, you can build it so that it's stronger and tougher and all of that, but you have more parts, you have more stress, and usually that correlates with decreased longevity and more maintenance costs.
Speaking of the smaller engine, in the 2025 Chevy Equinox review, is it a three-cylinder or a four-cylinder? Because I know that a lot of manufacturers have been going to the three-cylinder, and they're having problems keeping them together because they're boosting them heavily.
Well, this one, the astonishing thing is this vehicle, which, again, it's a compact-sized crossover. It's not very big in terms of its footprint, but as we mentioned earlier, it weighs nearly 2 tons with two people aboard. And to move this thing, all it has is a 1.5-liter four-cylinder engine. Now, my Trans Am, my old muscle car, it weighs about the same, but it has a 7.5-liter. That's 455 cubic inches.
Oh, yeah. I remember and love it well here. Now, if it has a 1.54, at least it has four cylinders. That's good.
Yeah.
But, you know, a 1.5-liter engine, that was the same size as the Rabbit. You know, the 1976, 1977 Rabbit was a 1.5. And is this one turbocharged, though? Just curious.
Yeah, you know, I, as a cross-reference in the review that I wrote, I pointed out that back in the day, small cars had small engines. A Chevy Chevette, for example, had a 1.6-liter engine, and
right.
It's perfectly appropriate for a vehicle that size. It's inappropriate to put an engine that size into a vehicle that weighs nearly 2 tons.
Hmm. Even my PT Cruiser has a 2.4. Four-cylinder.
Yeah, and another interesting aspect of it is that the gas mileage isn't even that particularly great. You know, I averaged about 22 miles per gallon, which is pretty bad for a four-cylinder powered vehicle.
Isn't that probably due to because they're looking more at carbon dioxide output than really the actual fuel economy? Just curious.
Well, yes, absolutely. But the thing is, it is a disingenuousness to it, because the small engine absolutely will use less gas unless you push down hard on the gas, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you need to push down on the gas pedal to get the thing to move, which wicks up the boost and the power. And at that point, I guess a lot of people don't understand this concept, so I'll try to explain it. But a small engine, a turbo on a small engine, it makes the engine bigger by forcing more air through the engine and fuel too.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, while it's on boost, effectively you do have a six-cylinder engine and you get comparable gas mileage.
But if you have to drive it that way, why not just have a six-cylinder engine, right?
There you go, because of compliance. Because when it's idling and not under a lot of load, oh, look, it gets better gas mileage, and it emits less gas.
Okay, yeah. It makes your eyes glaze, I'm sure. Overall, though, pleasant vehicle, though, the Equinox?
Totally. Yeah, absolutely. You know,
they've
done a good job of not messing with it. Here's an interesting thing about that vehicle. It's actually Chevy's second best-selling vehicle behind the Silverado pickup.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. But you say if you're going to get it, you want it with the all-wheel drive, so that way you get the...
I would, particularly since there's almost no difference in either gas mileage or performance. They both get to 60 in about the same 8 seconds, both get about the same gas mileage. But that conventional geared automatic will probably probably last longer than the CVT.
Okay, and what's a sticker for, roughly? You recall?
Oh, boy, this starts around, I think they start around, what did they start around, 31, I think. And mm-hmm. if you get the all-wheel drive version, it adds, I think, about 1,000 or maybe 1,500 bucks to it.
Yeah, 1,000 or 1,500 for all-wheel drive, that's not bad, actually. That's pretty good.
Well, no, especially when you think about what it would cost to replace that the CVT transmission after the warranty runs out.
Yeah, $5,000, right? That's the deal.
Yep.
All right, 7 o'clock, KMED, KMED, HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KPXG, Grants Pass. Let's get back to the phones for Eric Peters here, epautos.com. Hello, who's this? You've been holding for a little while. Who's this?
Good morning, gentlemen. It's Francine.
Hi, Francine. Do you have a question for Eric? Go ahead.
I do. I was driving around yesterday afternoon, and I had Lars Larson on, and there was somebody that were talking about, I think it might have been California, I'm not sure, where there's some new, it's either a new legislation or something that they're trying to pass that will require, heavy-duty equipment to have, you can't just buy the equipment. You have to buy two versions of it. You have to buy a regular one and an electric one. Do you know anything about this?
I don't know about having to buy both. What I've heard is that effectively fleet operators who use commercial type heavy equipment, big trucks to haul things around,
right,
are going to be required to use. They phrase it this way to make it technically not against the law to have something that isn't a battery powered device, but they say zero emissions, which for all practical purposes means you have to have an electric vehicle.
But I'm wondering if Francine, I'd have to go back and listen to Lars to get that, or maybe look on his podcast about it. But that could be where if you're going to operate the truck in California, it's got to be electric. But then if you're going to have to haul it out of state, then you're going to have a conventional one to be able to get it to its destination.
It could be something like that. But what the gist of what I wasn't, listening that carefully, but the gist of it was that they had to make two purchases.
Oh, man, I'll tell you.
They've been effectively forced to give up diesel rigs. And, for people who don't understand or don't know much about commercial operations, diesels are the go-to vehicle because they have tremendous torque and because they are very, very durable, and they will go for hundreds of thousands of miles before they need to be torn down and rebuilt. And
yeah, so there are times they talk about diesel longevity in which, million miles between rebuilds in some models that have been so good.
Yeah, so if you're going to spend, let's say, $250,000, on a Freightliner or something, you probably want that thing to last for a long time, and you want it with a diesel rather than a gas engine, let alone a battery and motors.
All right. Hey, thank you for the call there, Francine. Let me go to line 4. Hi, good morning. Who's this? You're on with Eric Peters. Who's this?
Deplorable Patrick here, Bill. What you're talking about there, or Francine brought up, sounds like coercion, and it sounds like restraint of trade to me. But that is not what made me dial you up.
Okay.
I would want to lip off at Ford, and it's possible she can point the finger at others rather than just Ford. But when I hear them talking about the twin turbo, like 1.5 liter engine or whatever, that's such a bunch of crap, because that's just marketing. Twin turbo, oh, that sounds sexy. All you have to have is one turbo that's large enough to do the job.
Well, the reason they go with the twin turbos is to deal with the problem of lag that beset turbo engines for a long time, meaning that before the vehicle would respond, you push down on the gas pedal, it has to build up exhaust pressure to turn the turbo to create a boost to give you the power. Well, by putting two smaller turbos right up snugged against the exhaust ports, and that generates almost instant boost, and that's why they're doing that.
Okay. All right. But still, remember the term EcoBoost. You know what that means?
It means eco-marketing.
Boost the money out of your wallet.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you.
But yeah.
Because EcoBoost sounded so cool at the time, right? But
turbos are cool. There was a time when, like a 911 turbo, a Corvair Monza Turbo Spider. They were power adders. They were designed to be installed on high-performance engines to increase the power of a high-performance engine. That's what it was all about. Now they're being used to make up for the lost displacement and try desperately to keep the power at the level that consumers will be happy with.
All right. Well, Eric, always a great talk. We didn't get a chance to talk about the exploding pagers over in the Middle East today, but... Mm-hmm. I couldn't help but think, I'm looking at my cell phone, I'm thinking, you know, they could do it to pagers. Could they do it to my phone? You ever think about
that? Yeah, I wonder about that. I've decided I think I'm going to keep mine at a good distance from myself.
And maybe put it in a Kevlar, you know, a Kevlar case or something like that. In all truth, though, it does sound like what happened is that the Israelis ended up, you know, having the pagers manufactured, knowing that they that Hezbollah was going to be using pagers instead. And then they were actually explosives. They were not the explosive batteries. And I was thinking, because the batteries wouldn't explode. I mean, we've watched, you know, videos or seen lithium-ion batteries burn. I mean, they'll burn intensely and hotly.
Yes.
But I've not seen them
really hotly.
Yeah, but I've not seen them, you know, explode like bombs per se. You know, that
kind of
thing.
Well, because you have to have it in a contained structure. You know, the reason why a bullet fires out of a gun is because the gunpowder is in the shell casing.
Yeah.
And, you know, when the spark happens, all of that energy is contained within the casing, and that forces the bullet out, and you have this explosion.
Yeah.
But if it's not contained, you just get this quick flash of the fuel being burned up.
I would venture a case that the case of what probably happened in these pager cases, you know, in this attack, is that some plastic explosive just built into the case somehow and then fired off.
Yeah.
Yikes. And so it's kind of like something out of Mission Impossible, isn't it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep, it is.
On that note, have a great day. We will catch you next week. What are you going to be reviewing next time around?
It looks like one of the last sedans that you can still get.
Really?
The CT5 Cadillac.
Oh,
which
okay.
Which comes with our favorite thing, our very favorite thing, Bill, a 2.0 liter turbocharged four-cylinder engine.
Yes, I know. I remember the days when, you know, when Big Pete drove up in his 1959 Cadillac convertible, you know, and Big Pete would drive up, and we would just open up that, and we couldn't wait to see the four-cylinder, little tiny four-cylinder underneath the hood of the Cadillac.
But, you know, on the upside, it's a sedan, and that's a rare thing these days, and it's also rear-wheel drive, which is getting to be even rarer.
Okay, well, looking forward to it, because I've heard it's a very competent road car, so
I'm
looking forward to hearing what you have to say about the Cadillac next week. Thanks, Eric. Be well,
you bet,
okay?
Bill.
EPautos.com. Go there, read it, comment it, love it, support it. This is the Bill Myers Show.
We're here with...